friends, your brothers or relatives, or your rich neighbors. If you do, they may invite you back, so you will be repaid. And you will be blessed, although they cannot repay you. You will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. Jesus replied, "A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, 'I have just bought a field and I must go and see it. Please excuse me.' Still another said, 'I just got married, so I can't come.' Sir, the servant said, 'What you have ordered has been done, but there is still room.' I tell you, not one of these men who were invited will get a taste of my banquet." Turn our hearts to the message.
Okay, this is my PowerPoint. So today my sermon topic is, be good to those who cannot repay you. Maybe some of you know that my wife and I just returned from China. We went there for 6 weeks. So this 6 week trip could be summarized in two words: fruitful and thankful. One day we visited a longtime friend in a hospital in Hong Kong. She had cancer at a young age and was bedridden. A month later, we visited her again in the hospital. And the next day, she passed away. Yesterday, we had a memorial service for her in Chinatown, Chicago. So we see life is short, but precious. We also spent 4 weeks in a university campus in Hangzhou, China. We ate at the campus dining hall, 7 a.m. for breakfast, 11 a.m. for lunch, and 5 p.m. for dinner. I taught some students how to do their research projects. So the campus life was simple and serene. In America, for most of the times, I don't feel the inconvenience to move around with my wheelchair. I could travel to almost any places I like. Economically, Hong Kong is a developed city with the highest house prices in the world. And Hangzhou in China, which held the G20 summit in 2016, Hangzhou ranks the top developed city in China. However, my recent experience in these two cities really humbled me, regardless of how developed they were. When the plane I took landed on the field in Hangzhou, usually if I am using wheelchair, the practice would be, if the plane lands on the field instead of near the airport. I mean the airport. That usually they have a truck that drives close to the plane, and the truck have a something like a elevator that can move up to the door of the plane, so I can wheel my chair into the plane. But this time, when the plane I took landed on the field in Hangzhou, a male flight attendant had to carry me down the stairs of the plane to a shuttle bus, which then transported all passengers to the airport. And oftentimes, when I took a train in the underground mass transit railway, which is very common in the developed cities, it was like a maze to me to look for elevator. Escalators and stairs were everywhere, but not an elevator. So due to all kinds of inaccessibility, wheelchair users or people with walking difficulties feel insecure to travel alone. Many people, old and young, just become homebound due to their disability. So why did I tell you? Why did I tell you about the problems of the handicapped? It is because during my recent trip to Hong Kong, I was inspired by a Christian organization whose mission is to bring the gospel particularly to the handicapped. The organization has been developed for 30 years by a wheelchair user. The organization is called Echo Valley, whose ministry is similar to the ministry of Johnny and Friends in America. As a matter of fact, I have agreed to work for Echo Valley as their executive director for the coming 2 years. Like a missionary, God unexpectedly caused me to take up this challenging job, which I do not know anything. And therefore, before the end of September, I will be leaving Chicago and stay in Hong Kong. But we will try to find time to come back to see you all. In the Bible, you read the Bible, different types of disabilities were mentioned, including blindness, deaf, crippled, lame, mute, speech problem, madness, mental confusion, and old age with failed strength. In Hong Kong, approximately 2% of the population has physical disability, not including the psychological disability. In America, I don't know whether the data is correct or not, they say 1 out of 5 has disability. They are the underprivileged. But the question is, why do we as Christians have to care about the people with disability? As an individual and as a church, what can we do for them? Today I would like to use Luke chapter 14 to answer these questions. The story in Luke 14 began with a meal. It was not an ordinary dinner at home, but a great banquet. It's a big grand banquet. A lot of guests were invited, including Jesus. And the host was a Pharisee of high position in the Jewish community. The time was the Sabbath. Sabbath is a day in the week where no one was allowed to work, including healing a sick man. The environment in the banquet, if you read the story, was not so friendly to Jesus. He was carefully watched. Everybody looked at him. Whatever he did and said, it would be the headline news of the day. Since such a joyful feast a sick man of dropsy was seated right in front of Jesus. Dropsy, as we know, is a kind of edema that serous fluid comes out from the skin of the body. This disease was considered unclean in the Jewish tradition and would ruin the Sabbath for the invited. You do not expect that such a sick man was invited to the feast. The host and his associates planted it to test Jesus. They planted it. They knew Jesus had great compassion to the unfortunate. If Jesus really healed the man with dropsy, he violated the law of not to work on the Sabbath. Jesus knew, of course Jesus knew their trick. He then asked them two questions. First question, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not? The second question, if one of you has a child or an ox that falls into a well on the Sabbath day, will you not immediately pull it out? Now, both questions actually ask the same thing. Will you save someone on the Sabbath? However, there's a big difference there. The first question is focused on the job, healing, while the second question is focused on the someone who is precious to you. If the Pharisee said that healing was not lawful on the Sabbath day, but saving a precious one is exceptional, then they are hypocritical. On the other hand, if they say healing was not lawful to save anyone on the Sabbath, even their own child, then they are inhumane, lack of humanity. And therefore, after Jesus asked these questions, they kept silent. So since no one knew how to answer these two questions of Jesus, Jesus took the sick man and healed him. And then the man walked away without finishing the meal. A miracle was just performed on the Sabbath in front of all these guests. Now Jesus turned to the host. He wanted to use this opportunity to teach him the principle of being good to the underprivileged. Definitely, the host had not shown any mercy to the man with dropsy. He was using him only as a bait to destroy Jesus. Jesus said to the host, when you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers or sisters, your relatives or your rich neighbors. If you do, they may invite you back, and so you will be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. When we invite people for a meal, we may have different motives. We may simply want a good time together with those we invited. Or if it is a business dinner, we may want a better partnership. If it is a wedding banquet, we just want everyone to celebrate with us. Then, who will you invite for a meal? Obviously, our friends, brothers and sisters, relatives and rich neighbors are on the guest list. They are related to us in one way or another and of certain importance to us. Of course, we will invite them. However, Jesus said, do not invite them. It seems Jesus' teaching is unreasonable. What is wrong to invite those who are close to us? And Jesus explained in verse 12, if you invite them, they may invite you back, and so you will be repaid. Inviting one another to dinner is our common practice in this society, and it seems nothing wrong. However, Jesus is teaching or talking about a special quality, a special quality that we should have when we want to be good to others. He said, but when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. The crippled, the lame, and the blind refer to the physical disabilities. Nowadays, with the advance of technology, people with physical disability may still be able to earn a decent living as long as their intelligence is intact. I know a man of Palm, we all know this man, with Parkinson's disease, and he can be a movie star. A paraplegic can be a scientist or an engineer. And I know a blind, she is a lawyer. However, back to the old days, at the time of Jesus, they were considered as unproductive, unemployable, and destined to be poor. In a society, they were the rejected, the outcast, the poor, and the handicapped. Definitely had no money to invite you back for a banquet, although they might want to. Maybe we will ask, why should we spend time to take care of the poor and the handicapped? It is true that we already have too many people around us that demand our care. And then why should we bother to spend extra effort to take care of the underprivileged, especially they are not related to us? And reason number one, God cares very deeply for the underprivileged. There are many passages in the Bible talks about this. They talk about God's anger and cursing on those people who have mistreated the poor. For example, in Isaiah chapter 10, verse 2, Jeremiah 22, verse 13, and Amos chapter 5, 11. And also, there are many passages that God expects his followers to give physical blessings to the poor, such as leaving some grains and fruits during harvest to the needy to take away. Deuteronomy 24:10-21. Or sharing food with the hungry, providing the poor with shelter, and clothing the naked. Isaiah 58, chapter 58, verse 7. And Apostle Paul even said that God deliberately chose men and women that the culture overlooks, that the culture exploits, and the culture abuses. If you read 1 Corinthians, chapter 1, 27. And reason number two, doing good or being good to others is not motivated with recompense. Helping the poor and the handicapped can really humble ourselves, because in reality, they cannot repay you. They are also strangers to you, because we usually do not make friends with them. What we have sacrificed in taking care of the underprivileged has no recompense in terms of physical gains. However, it trains us to be like Jesus, who always has the compassion to the underprivileged. And reason number three, God repays us tremendously, as we can see in verse 14. We cannot deny the fact that there are many non-Christians who also do good to the poor, not for recompense. They are also good people. However, as Christians, when our motive to do good involves no recompense from man, we will be blessed by God in the act of doing the good. God's blessing furnishes more happiness than physical riches can give. God also repays or rewards us in the time when He will judge our works. If you read the Bible, you know that one day God will judge our works on this life. This will take place when we are resurrected. At that time, we will stand in front of God as the righteous people, because we are covered by the blood of Jesus through His death on the cross. When I told people about my new job in the organization, Echo Valley, that I will be working for them, some said I'm crazy because I have already retired for 2 years. I retired from my tent-making jobs. I need to learn moving around in Hong Kong without driving. Now, it's very convenient for me to drive. But in Hong Kong, even though I drove for many years in Hong Kong, I don't want to drive anymore. The living standard in Hong Kong is extremely high. To be honest with you, after paying the rent for a small apartment, the salary of the new job is not enough to cover the daily expenses. The new job, though meaningful, cannot compensate the time and the effort for people to work in that organization. But it's okay. God's grace is always sufficient. We all like to do good things. We all like to be good to others as Christians. When we do good, God forbids the motive for recompense for man. And that's a challenge to each one of us. Interestingly, when the audience in the banquet heard about the resurrection of the righteous at the end of verse 14, the Bible said that someone, a certain man, at Jesus' table shouted, "Blessed is the one who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God." We do not know who this person was. Obviously, he was a Jew. He switched from the topic of a regular social banquet on earth that Jesus was talking about to the heavenly feast where God is the host. And this feast will take place in the kingdom of God. There are many passages in the Old Testament talking about this banquet. For example, God in Isaiah chapter 25 verse 6 said that God will prepare a lavish banquet for all peoples. There's an ethnic, for all peoples. In Psalm 23, 6, David, King David says that God prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. What kinds of food? Maybe we are wondering, what kinds of food and drink are to be served at the feast of God? It is not the regular food. It's not the regular drink, Coca-Cola or something. This is a feast of truth and information for us to digest. This is a feast of forgiveness and peace for the sinners to receive. This is a feast of love, hope, and joy for the believers to take. This is a feast of bread to nourish and strengthen our bodies. This is a feast of wine to cheer and exhilarate the soul, the mind, and the body. And the Jews, all of them, look forward to the dining in the God's kingdom. They probably subscribed to the popular notion that only the Jews would be part of the feast in God's kingdom. However, Jesus told them a parable, aiming to expose the falseness of this notion. They are wrong. And the parable that Jesus was talking about began in verse 16. A certain man was preparing a great banquet. And this certain man in the parable actually represents God. And oftentimes, this parable of a great banquet is compared with a similar parable in Matthew chapter 22, verse 1 to 14, where a king gave a wedding feast for his son. The king, of course, is God, and the son is Jesus, the Messiah or Savior. And then, in this heavenly feast, sometimes this feast is also known as the Messianic banquet. As the preparation of the banquet took a long time, it's not just one day or 2 days, it took a long time. So the host first informed many guests. When the banquet was finally ready, the host sent his servant to tell those whom he had invited, "Come, for everything is now ready." And the feast was prepared for each one of those invited. Jesus had preached loudly almost every day to the Jews during his ministry on earth. He told the Jews many times, "The kingdom of God is near." But they did not listen, rejected him. It's just like what happened in the parable. The guests gave all kinds of excuses to reject the banquet. Some said, "I have just bought the field, and I must go and see it." The other said, "I have just bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I'm on my way to try them out." Some even say, "I just got married, so I can't come." Now you see these excuses. The first two excuses did not make sense at all. No one would buy any expensive thing without seeing it first. The last excuse of recent marriage was also not acceptable because the Messianic banquet was informed to them long time ago. Any excuse to skip the kingdom of God shows the person is not ready to attend the feast in heaven. They are not ready. They are not ready to accept Jesus as their Savior. They are not humble enough before God. And how about us? How about you? If you are not a believer yet, please note that the kingdom of God is near. You are invited to the feast. The invitation has been sent to you. God is patient. He waits for your acceptance. Maybe you can take your time. It can be days, months, or years. Everyone needs time to understand the gospel. Everyone needs the time to debate on some important issues in the Bible and the time to internalize the truth. However, God does not like excuses. We need to be honest with God. When you accept the invitation, you will taste all kinds of blessings in the feast, and your life will be changed. Now, the servant came back to the host, informing him that, oh, sorry, no one comes. No one on the guest list will come. And the host, as I said before, is God. God, as we know, he was slow to anger. He was slow to anger. But this time, he was furious. He orders the servant, go out quickly. Go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. And interestingly, the principle of being good to the underprivileged, that is the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame, was repeated here. The gospel was first preached to the poor and the handicapped that were not on the guest list. Oftentimes, people like to explain about this parable. People like to explain that the poor in the parable only refers to those who are poor in spirit, because Jesus has taught, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Matthew chapter 5, verse 3. If so, this group of underprivileged is only those who are humble, realizing their own sins and spiritual emptiness. If such explanation holds, this group of people that Jesus is talking about in the parable, that this group of people who are first invited to the gospel can refer to anyone, including the wealthy, the healthy, the strong, and the able, as long as they are humble in spirit. However, in view of the previous teaching, just a few verses before, in view of the previous teaching of Jesus on being good to those who cannot repay you, I would rather take the literal meaning that the poor are lack of money, the crippled are those with physical deformities, the blind cannot see, and the lame cannot walk. We cannot deny the fact that there are government agencies and non-profit organizations to take care of the needs of the underprivileged. However, the underprivileged require not only physical blessings, they not just need the physical blessings, but they also need the spiritual blessings as well. They need the gospel as much as anyone else. If you read the Bible, you see a lot of examples. After Jesus healed a paralyzed man, he said to him, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Mark chapter 2, verse 5. After Jesus healed a blind man born with blindness, he asked him, he healed him, he should go away, but didn't ask him, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" John chapter 9, 35. After Jesus healed a lame man who could not walk for 38 years, he healed him and he should walk away, but Jesus told him, "You are well again. Stop sinning, or something worse may happen to you. John chapter 5:14. Jesus cared about not only their physicalness, but their spiritualness. We also care about their spiritualness. For the underprivileged to approach Jesus, we also know that there are many obstacles that we can find in the Bible. For example, you may be very familiarized with this story. A paralyzed man wanted to approach Jesus, but the house where Jesus was preaching was packed with people. So his four friends had to carry the paralyzed man to the roof, dug a hole, and lowered him down with a mat and ropes. And then a blind man wanted the mercy of Jesus, but the crowd rebuked him and silenced him. Unfortunately, the underprivileged of today still face a lot of obstacles for them to approach the church. I heard a story that the congregation of a church did not know how to respond when a homeless walked into their church, because he was not only dressed in shabby clothes, but also he smelled. In most churches, no special devices are installed to assist the people with hearing loss. When my wife brought her elder brother to visit a nearby church for Sunday service, they got in, but not me, because of stairs right in front of the entrance. In Hong Kong, the difficulty to take public transport, the inaccessibility to the church buildings, and the lack of volunteers to give assistance have scared the handicapped to attend church. Many churches are not ready or unwilling to serve the underprivileged, who probably cannot repay them. Even in Chicago, I could not push my wheelchair into a few Chinese churches due to the stairs in front of their buildings. And I heard a story that a church board had discussed about installing an elevator years ago for the wheelchair users to use. However, due to whatever reason or financial consideration, the project of installing an elevator was stopped. And then when one of the board members had to use wheelchair himself due to sickness, he had to stay home on every Sunday. Many churches do not take the teaching of Jesus in this parable serious enough. We cannot deceive ourselves that the population of the poor, the blind, and the lame, and the crippled in the church is very small. And therefore, the teaching of Jesus is outdated. The reason that the underprivileged do not come to church is because they can't. Jesus loves the underprivileged, and so do we. And then, regardless of the fact that they cannot repay us, the kingdom of God cannot exclude them. It's very interesting. The kingdom of God cannot exclude them, and we cannot pretend that they do not exist. Like what God told his servant in this parable, we have to go to the streets, to the alleys, to find them. When we find them, we do not just give them the invitation card or just the gospel tracts and expect them that they can come to the feast of God. Rather, we have to comfort them, assist them to overcome the obstacles, and bring them to the church. In the parable, Jesus said, bring them, not just give them the tract, not just tell them the gospel. Bring them to the feast. Life is a cycle. We all know life is a cycle. A baby needs assistance to survive, and so does an elderly. Our friends, relatives, and even ourselves will get old, become somewhat disabled in one way or another in some days. As an individual, maybe it is time to care about the underprivileged, consider their needs, and help them move around. As part of a church, we should get prepared to preach the gospel to them. Of course, not every underprivileged will come. Not every underprivileged will become a follower of Christ, but it is our mission to serve them. We, as the servants of God, are called to the streets, the alleys, the roads and country lanes, to invite all those who are not on the guest list, including the underprivileged and those normal people. The mission in verse 21 says, the mission has to be done quickly. Why is it quickly? Because the kingdom of God is near. As the house of the feast is not full. It's not full even today. The house of the feast in God's kingdom is not full even today. We, in verse 23, we have to compel them to come. When we say compel, that means we press them earnestly, one and all. We do not hear their excuses, but urge them so as to overcome their objections and obstacles and lead them to the feast in heaven. That's all. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the message that you teach us in the Luke chapter 14. This is a message that teaches us to not only to be good to those who are underprivileged, but also to have a heart to invite people to your kingdom. Inviting them may need our effort, our time and energy. But we know you give us enough grace to do that. May you bless each one of us that we have a heart to serve for your namesake and for your glory. Father, we thank you. We pray all this in your Son, Jesus Christ's name. Amen.